Hello to everyone. It's Wednesday, October 18th, 2023. And this will mark part three in our series of The Word Dwelling in You Richly. And in the study today, we'll give further consideration on the thoughts that dwell within us. And as long as we breathe, patterns of thoughts are going to be active in our minds, and they are endless in number and complexity, too. We've always had them, so to us, they're not unusual. And they pretty much just slip right by and operate behind the scenes without much attention. It's what you might call autopilot. You know, people rarely think about their thoughts. Therefore, it's rare that we challenge them. It's understandable because since the fall of Lucifer, the god of this world has put the focus on judgment of what people do rather than how people think. You know, we hear cliches like, "What were you thinking?" or "Think about what you're thinking about." And, you know, then we have the positive thinking folks that live to further the belief in mind over matter. Now, does mind over matter work? You know, I'll let you be the judge on that one. Those kinds of things, measurements are extremely relative. We're talking about the Word of God, and I can tell you emphatically that mind over matter, as it is taught, brings no glorification to God. It's similar in nature to the modern version of meditation. You know, both meditation and positive thinking, unfortunately, get linked to Christian believers. Well, I am humbly thankful to God that I am not one of those Christians on either of those points. Now, we just did a study not too far back on true biblical meditation. And please certainly give it a re-listen if you're unsure about what I'm talking about here. The devil sets out, it's his goal, to convolute everything that happens between our ears. And it's all under the guise of headway, of sophistication. You can be certain that all the politically correct terms and all the socially acceptable terms, so that people don't feel bad, they were all signed and sealed by the evil spirit realm, then delivered to the bright ones of our day and time. You know, the wisdom of this world always concludes that mankind is more advanced than the creator of the heavens and the earth. I think it sounds like Lucifer once upon a time, who thought he was smarter than God. And yet, you have to understand, and we have to be compassionate toward others and even toward ourselves, because it is a subtle operation. It really is a heist of the most complex and devious form. And it is easier to get tricked than perhaps we would like to admit. Well, Jesus, after fasting 40 days, he was physically at his weakest point. He was hungry. When the devil tempted Jesus to sin by introducing preposterous remedies, Jesus didn't respond with positives or mind over matter, nor did he chant incantations to God. He said repeatedly, "It is written." The devil is not moved one iota by our positive thoughts. He is not. But he is moved on his way, like it or not, by the name of Jesus Christ. Jesus could account for his every thought because he had brought them all to the obedience of the Word of God. His thought processes were firmly built upon God's Word, and from a child. Mary taught him. And it was the same with Timothy. We've been reading about him recently. His mother and grandmother had Paul's own witness in the Word that they both trained him up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Paul, throughout the epistles to Timothy, encouraged him to continue in the things he had been taught. And along life's way, if our thoughts have betrayed us, that's a legitimate clue that those thoughts were not planted in our minds by God, saint or sinner. Our thoughts can be influenced by the enemy, and he makes us think that those are our own thoughts. You know, this can be a hard one to accept, but if we want to conquer receiving deliverance in some area of life, we have to accept that challenge. And there's probably several examples, but we've been talking about Timothy, we've been talking about training up children, so I'm going to kind of run along that frequency, if you will. One fallacy that occurs more frequently than you might think is that in training up our children as parents, we reflect on our own upbringing as the example. Now, we might know all the scriptures regarding training up children, yet sometimes our personal experiences of how our parents taught and disciplined us get in the way of how we understand those scriptures. And even knowing the Word, we remain accountable for seeking the spiritual understanding that illustrates to our children the goodness, the mercy, the grace, and above all, the love of the Father to our children. They're not going to get it in school. Prayerfully, as we remain faithful to search the scriptures, and we certainly pray for godly illumination, we will increase in our ability to discern how what we think we know might just cut across clear verses that we definitely know. And that's how our thinking gets fixed. We don't fix our thinking, let's be honest. It's the God-breathed Word that fixes our thinking. And then when the devil puts things in our path that provokes thoughts contrary to the Word, we're able to discern it. And we just say, you know, hey, this is just not right. And we've read from the King James in the past week, couple weeks, and from the Bible in Basic English, the verses in Colossians 3. About the peace of God ruling in our hearts, and about the Word of Christ dwelling within us richly. And remembering the word richly spiritually indicates wealth beyond the sum total of all the physical wealth in the world, the whole collection of it all. And we have the peace of God because Jesus Christ paid the price that we could be at peace with him. And that peace is the umpire. So any accusation coming across home plate that endeavors to minimize our permanent relationship with God, it gets called out for what it is. It's a lie. We are at peace with God. His peace is in us, so we are to let it rule. The Darby translation, I like this. It says, we should let the peace of God preside in our hearts. And I think that's cool because one who presides is in a position of authority. One that is able and has the authority to offer guidance and direction. So let the peace of God preside within your heart. And then the next thing is letting the word of Christ dwell in you richly. And the word of Christ is the truth concerning Christ. It includes all that he accomplished for us, that we could be free from any and every type of spiritual bondage. That alone is worth a million mines of gold and silver. It's worth all the excavations where they've discovered ancient treasures, all of the gemstones and the like. We have incredible spiritual wealth. You know, I keep thinking, go to the bank of God and make a withdrawal, for heaven's sake. Allow this incredible wealth to do its perfect work in us and among us, among that one body which this Colossians speaks to. Let God's peace call the shots. And in that, our soundness of mind is manifested. It's free of drama. You know, people don't really set out desiring drama, but they develop an appetite along the way. You know, they may say they don't like drama. Well, who does? Nobody really likes it, but we sort of can get addicted to it at times. But they learn from the thinking patterns in this world, and they become dissatisfied when there is no drama. And no matter how much they really say they dislike it, they can actually cause it. With the peace of God, our emotions are strong and can withstand the devised attacks against them, against our emotions. God's peace gives us the sense that we don't have to react to evil. We simply act according to the behavior that becomes a child of God. And we get that from that indwelling word that is richly within us. You really see this on social media sites. The devil uses those sites to really push our buttons. He wants to get us going. And then we start fuming inside because it just makes you so insanely mad. With that, out of anger, there's just not much glory to God when we unleash harsh words to other people and join the fight, join the drama. But that's the peace of God. Then we have the word concerning Christ that tells us so much of who we really are as God's children, what we have, what we can do. And genuine believers, they don't dwell on what they can't think or what they can't do, because they immerse themselves in what they are to think and what they are to do. So our choice is not between positive or negative. It's a choice between blessing and cursing. That's the only choice that is to be found in the Bible. And God called the heaven and the earth to witness him giving humankind this freedom of will to choose for themselves. It's amazing. And with the word concerning Christ dwelling in us richly, it provides us our landmarks. Now, landmarks are objects, such as a heap of stones, maybe a row of trees, perhaps a fence. But they mark a property. They make a boundary. And it's meant to be a conspicuous marking, and it will stand out from the environment. It can be seen from a long distance, and it even offers navigation, so we are sure of our whereabouts. Am I on my land? Well, I must be. I'm inside this fence. And God warned them in the Old Testament to check their boundaries. Check their ancient landmarks to make sure someone hasn't come along and towed them a little bit one way or the other to reduce our amount of property that we have to steal from us. So, the richly indwelling word provides our personal landmark. And in the Old Testament, God gave warnings about moving those ancient landmarks or those boundary markers. And you can check them out in a concordance. You can look up landmark or landmarks, whatever, you'll find them. But there is one verse I'd like for us to read where this Hebrew word for landmark is translated into the English another way. And in Isaiah 59:12 in the King James, "For our transgressions are multiplied before thee, and our sins testify against us. For our transgressions are with us, and as for our iniquities, we know them. In transgressing and lying against the Lord, and departing away from our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood." So they had landmarks set by their fathers in their teachings from their youth. But they were influenced in some tricky, evil way, and they moved those landmarks. They no longer control their words, which is pretty indicative that they weren't thinking much about God in a good light. And instead of teaching what they had learned in their youth and that indwelling in their hearts, this says that, thoughts of oppression, thoughts of deceit now presided in their hearts. And it was giving them misleading information, and it caused them to sin in multiple ways, it says. So in verse 13, it says, they departed away from God. Well, they departed away from God. They stopped speaking for God. So now they're speaking for the enemy. There's only two choices, right? Departed away is the word for moving the landmarks. The word dwelling in us richly keeps the landmarks securely in place. The indwelling word will light up the night when thoughts come along trying to mess with our stake in the truth. And you've got to love verse 1. Because even with all this tragedy that they brought upon themselves by moving the solidarity of the word one way or the other, this is our God. In verse 1 of Isaiah 59, behold, it's just said to get our attention. Listen up here. The Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither his ear heavy that it cannot hear. We confess our broken fellowship according to 1 John 1:9, and it says God is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from the unrighteousness that we had entertained. Confess means that we are now going to say again what the word says. We're going to line our speech, line our thoughts up with the word. We're going to weed out those thoughts that led us to some insane thought and action. And it also means that we denounce those thoughts that lodged in our minds and caused us to forsake the integrity of our property markers. It is spiritual powers of the evil one that works against us. And we read scriptures in part 2. We read scriptures in part 2 that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal. We don't get a rifle, a bulletproof vest, and things like that. So I want to read those verses again. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 3 in the New King James Version. For though we live in the world, we do not wage war as the world does. You know, the world comes out fighting with words, slurs. They're mad at everybody. They want to revolt. And they do all these things to stir strife. The weapons we fight with, in verse 4 says, are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. Verse 5, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God, and we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. So, that's it for us. So, I just beg you, so lovingly beg you, please, please, begin to see that it's not the power of positive thinking. That is not divine power. That's the power that the natural mind builds on its own. But it's the divine power of God that demolishes, tears it down, every pretension that sets itself up against His knowledge. It's supernatural. And people everywhere are searching high and low for the supernatural. You know, they are willing to believe any lie that comes along in false hope that it will deliver them from their troubles. And they just fall for all the false advertising. You know, look at the titles of the TV shows. All the horoscopes. The crystals, the board games. So many are searching and crying out for the supernatural. And you know what? They need us. They need you. They need me to be in our right minds so that we can lead them to God's peace through Christ, where the supernatural is the genuine truth. Where the light has no darkness at all. Where they can be miraculously healed and delivered in that mighty and powerful name of Jesus Christ. The people that are encompassed by the world's thoughts and stunning ideas, they need us. And they need us to be in our best spiritual shape. And, you know, I endorse healthy eating. I endorse exercising because they do help us maintain our physical health, our physical edge as we move through this life. But crunches, bench pressing, how many steps we walk in a day, it doesn't affect the devil in any way whatsoever. We exercise spiritually as to who we are in Christ and what we have from God as our resources. So get energized because the word of Christ is dwelling in you richly. Whether evil or godly, our working, our reasoning, our analytical thoughts, they're based on the ideas of thought and the concepts we have been fed, or ones that we feed ourselves, for that matter. And for this reason, training up children in the way they should go is so crucial. Parents raising their children, in all fairness, have been so mentally manipulated and emotionally by the deceitfulness that is in the world's wisdom. It's really made a mess. It's really caused havoc. And then those children grow up. And it is a bigger mess. And in the case of a child, it is common in life that damaging information lodges in their heart when there is overwhelming verbal or physical hurt that happens to them, and especially when that hurt comes from those closest to them or from those they look to for love and strength. And what happens is that child then lives without that parental love, that nourishment and comfort. And over time, crippling thoughts enthrone themselves. I mean, they set up a kingdom. They intertwine throughout the thought processes and all the decision making in it. It can get to the place where everything the mind speaks is sourced by those hurtful events that were unresolved. And the logic of the truth, it's very hard to move those strongholds. Because with that repetition, self-worth loses all value. And this cycle can happen at any age, of course, in a person's life. But there wouldn't be so many drug rehabilitation programs or facilities for those so mentally tormented that they have to be put away somewhere, or correctional institutions for that matter, if the word concerning Christ was dwelling richly in the masses of Christians. Because when God's light is introduced, evil is disrupted. But the thoughts they have planted are not going away easily, because they have made a comfortable home in that person's logic. And that person has all these very personal, hurtful experiences that protect that logic. This is what happened to me. And the very last thing those thoughts want is for that person to begin thinking godly. Those thoughts are stubborn and they're contrary. That's why a person's personal desire to be lit up with the light of God has to be steadfast and resolute. Because without the intervention of God's love and light, the mind does not mend on its own. Oh, people may semi-successfully bury it deep within them and move on, but it will always remain a weak spot when they need to be strong, because buried trauma is not a foundation for successful living. It's not the basis for victory. But those thoughts can be told to go. Jesus did. And you know what? The evil departed. So here's the other part. Let's say that you tell the evil thoughts to depart from you. You tell the evil to leave you alone. You tell the evil to never return. And you do it with all the confidence in the name of Jesus Christ. And you evict that evil in the name above all names. It's going to be like any other eviction, even in life. The person evicted leaves mad, and they never take their trash with them. And a lot of times they will break whatever they can on their way out. They'll ruin the plumbing. They'll ruin the electricity circuits. They'll break the appliances. You know, the source feeding your mind is gone, but there's trash to clean up. That's why it isn't one prayer, like I said last week. It's not just one prayer in the name of Jesus Christ. That is the start. Certainly, that is the start. But we have work to do. We have to call the cleaning crew, which is that indwelling word. you know, you feel the same because when the source was cut, you still had the same brain and the same thoughts as if the source was still there. Do you get it? Sure. And that's why we quickly need a new feed source, which is the indwelling word. Then we start a new foundation, a new structure to fill that void. And every time I look into the word, truths from God shine light on my shortcomings. It's always an adjustment of thought. Always. So if any of these things that we've covered step on your toes, hey, my toes stay sore my whole life from looking at the word, the doctrine, the reproof, the correction. But there is such great joy in that. It's that we may be outfitted for victory in this life. So we want to learn to love and respect God's care for us and how honestly and openly He speaks to us through His Word. Just as parents, if we could be as transparent, as open and honest to speak to our children about life, how better, how much better they would be served in adulthood. You know, the word brings new thoughts and their truth. It's new logic. It's new light. It's new reasonings about life. It's mysteries about life revealed to us. And the light of God is fast and it's bright. It's thorough and it leaves no stone unturned. Nothing can hide in a shadow because with God, there are no shadows. With the words of light and truth, which are alive, they're lively, they give us life, minds heal. So going forward, it is the truth of God that weaves itself throughout our considerations, our decisions, and our reasonings concerning life, how we live it, how we're going to think, how we're going to act, trusting in God, believing His word that He will not fail us, that He is faithful. So our prayers are for all of us moving forward with the counsel of our God, whose peace presides in our minds, and with the words concerning Christ dwelling in us richly. So God bless you all so much. We love you.